Good morning. Welcome to our Boxing Day service. We are back online this week, online only for this week, really, God willing, anyway, because we hope to be back in Bashley Village Hall as of next week. But if you've gathered with us this morning, if you're watching online, we trust that you'll know the Lord's blessing as we worship together. Psalm 106 says this, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his love endures forever." So that's exactly what we're going to do. Let's come before the Lord and give thanks. Our loving Father, we come before you and give thanks for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we celebrate over this Christmas period the coming of our Saviour, we want to thank you for all the wonderful things that he came to do. We thank you most particularly that he came to die on the cross in the place of sinners, that we might be forgiven and that we might have a home and a future. And so we praise you for these things this morning. Lord, we give thanks to you for our brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank you for them, Lord. We thank you for those that we meet with regularly. We thank you for others, Lord, that meet all around the world. And we praise you and thank you that one day we will be with you forever. We give you thanks as well for the Word of God, Lord. We thank you that we have Bibles that we can open, that we can read, and that we can apply to our lives. And we thank you as well for the Holy Spirit. We thank you that he applies that word to us and works in us and changes us and transforms us. So we come to you lifting our voice in thanks this morning. And we give you thanks for the future that God has for his people. We thank you that you have in place for us a wonderful world, Lord, in which we will be able to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, in which we will be free from sin and pain and hardship, Lord. And we thank you for all of these things. We pray that as we worship together this morning, that you'd be pleased to be present with us and that you would help us to understand more of our gracious Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So first up this morning, we're going to enjoy worshiping together as we sing Good Christian Men Rejoice.
Good Christian men rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Give ye heed to what we say. News, news, Jesus Christ is born today. Ox and ass before him bow, and he is in the manger now. Christ is born today, Christ is born today. Good Christian men rejoice with heart and soul. Hear of in this bliss, joy, joy, Jesus Christ was born for this. He hath opened the heavenly door, and man is blessed evermore. Christ was born for this, Christ was born. Rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Now ye need not fear the grave. Peace, peace, Jesus Christ was born to save. Calls you one and calls you all to gain his everlasting hope. Christ was born to save. Christ was born to save.
So Alan Harvey's now going to read God's word to us. So over to you, Alan.
Our Bible reading is taken from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, and verses 1 to 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. And we now ask God to bless his word to us.
Thank you for the Bible reading, Alan. Now we're going to go over to Martin and Annette, who are going to lead us in prayer this morning.
Let's pray. Father God, we come to you and we acknowledge that you are our God. We want to be still and know that you are God. And as we look out into our world and we see the turmoil, Father, we thank you that we remember at Christmas that you sent the Lord Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, to bring peace on earth. And Father, we just pray that many this Christmas time will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour and know peace with you. Father, we pray for our own nation. We pray for our government, for our Prime Minister, for members of the Cabinet, for members of Parliament. Father, we just pray in the challenges of life at this time that they will turn to you in their need and acknowledge you to be their God. Father, we just pray for that you would raise up leaders of integrity that act justly and make wise decisions. Father God, we look to you. And Father, we just long for leaders that, as your word says, act justly, love mercy and walk humbly before you. We pray for our National Health Service. We thank you for the many in different roles who have cared for the increased number of sick people over previous months. And Father, we lift them to you as many of them will be weary. And Father, we just ask that you will protect them, that you will strengthen them, that they will support each other as the future seems uncertain, that there are many who are waiting for treatment. And Father, it must seem like it's overwhelming, but Father, we just pray that they would know your presence with them at this time. Father God, we thank you that we can come to you. We thank you that this time of year we can praise you. And we just want to praise you as the shepherds did, as the wise men worship. We come before you and we praise you, Father. We praise you, Lord Jesus. We praise you, Holy Spirit. And we thank you that you are with us this Christmas time. And we pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.
And Heavenly Father, as we come to the end of this year, 2021, we would once again thank you for being with us throughout it. A year that has seen many things happen, and we're just conscious of those that have lost loved ones and experienced sorrow and sadness over this past year. And yet we also know that we come before a God who never changes. And in all these things, you have always been there to comfort those that are sorrowing, Lord. We pray particularly for our families at this time. We thank you that we have been able to celebrate once again the birth of the Lord Jesus and to remember the reason for the season as to why he came. He came to live a perfect life, to die a perfect death. And he did this because of us and for us. We can never thank you enough for that love, the love that took the Lord Jesus to the cross. And we just pray for our families that they would be able to acknowledge that for themselves. For those that don't know you, Lord, again, we just pray that you would speak into their hearts, that you would open blind eyes, that they would see you for the first time and be able to cry out to you and to ask for your forgiveness and to know that eternity with you is a reality. We also think of friends, Lord, and neighbours. Again, we just pray for opportunities in this new year ahead in 2022 that we might be able to witness to them, that they might see something of you in us. And once again, might be asking themselves the question, who is this Lord Jesus? And Lord, as we look ahead to 2022, we just pray for the church, for your people. We pray for wisdom. We pray for guidance from you. We pray for opportunities from you in witnessing to friends, families, work colleagues, that they might, again, see something of you in us. And we look into 2022, most of all, Lord, looking for you to be at work. We want to see this COVID virus to come to an end, Lord, but that's our wish. But we want you to be in control of what happens. We want you to get all the glory and all the praise for being the God that you are, the one true God. And so again, Lord, we just thank you for this time, this Christmas time again, and we just look forward in anticipation of what you will do in this coming year. So we just bring these things to you now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So thank you, Martin and Annette. We're going to now go and sing together. We're going to sing Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sin is reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumphs of the skies. Nature rise and worship him who is born at Bethlehem. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time, behold him come, offspring of a flesh, the God at sea. Hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with man to appear, Jesus our Emmanuel. observer, born to give them second birth. Heart the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
So this morning, as a special one-off, we've got the Thomas Talks back again, so over to the Thomas family.
Hi guys, I hope you all had a great Christmas and have got some really good presents.
Today we're going to be doing a special Christmas Thomas Talk.
Hope you enjoy.
What's that?
This is your Christmas challenge. In this bag, we have things to do with Christmas and not to do with Christmas. Your challenge is to sort them out.
This should be easy. Father Christmas is definitely to do with Christmas because he delivers all the presents. A helicopter, that's not to do with Christmas. It saves people if they're in danger. A snowman is to do with Christmas because people make it out of snow. A fire trap, that's not to do with Christmas. It saves people from burning buildings. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is to do with Christmas because it pulls the sleigh for Santa. The police car, that's not to do with Christmas. It saves people if there's a crime.
Well, Martha, I'm afraid to say, but you've done it all wrong, because these things, they're not really to do with the true Christmas story at all. But the Christmas story is all about rescue, and all these rescue vehicles, well, they rescue people, just like Jesus does.
So, Christmas is all about rescuing, is it?
That's right. In fact, the whole Bible story is just one big rescue mission.
Okay, I understand that the people in the Bible needed to be rescued, but that was a long time ago. Why do I need to be rescued?
Just like the people in the Bible, we need to be rescued too. Sin is passed down from generation to generation and is a huge problem. Even though you've never killed anyone or stolen anything valuable, it doesn't mean that you haven't sinned. Sin is anything we think or do or say that's against God. That could be lying, being jealous of someone else, or boasting, or maybe disobeying your parents. But sin separates us from God, and it stops us from being his friends and knowing him. The final result of sin is death, so you can see why we need a saviour. Everyone sins, and when the people in the Old Testament sinned, God said that he would send a rescuer called the Messiah.
I think I'm starting to understand. The Bible is a rescue mission, all about a rescuer. But who was this mysterious saviour, and what's it got to do with the Christmas story?
Well, when we celebrate Christmas, we celebrate the birth of a baby called Jesus. But that's not half the celebration. We really celebrate Christmas because this baby boy grows up to be the Messiah, the one God had said will come. He died on a cross and took all of our sins onto himself, taking the punishment we deserve. He rescued us so that we can be forgiven and live with him in eternity. Now, there is nothing separating us from God anymore. That's great news for you and me.
But if Jesus is dead, how can I be rescued?
Well, now, this is the great part, because Jesus didn't stay dead. 3 days after Jesus had been crucified, he rose from the dead, just as the Bible had prophesied. Because of this, he has defeated Satan, death, and sin, meaning we can be forgiven and live for eternity with him as our king. What better gift to receive on Christmas Day?
Oh, I see. So even though a cute little baby boy had been born, that wasn't the main reason that people were so happy. It was because that little baby boy would rescue them from their sins and complete the rescue mission.
Exactly. Jesus' birth and resurrection all mean that we can be friends with God. How cool is that? Today's memory verse is John chapter 3, verse 16.
For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life.
Let's pray. I thank you, God, that you loved us so much that you sent your own Son down to earth as a baby boy to complete your rescue mission. I pray that especially at Christmas, we would remember all that Jesus has done for us and thank him for this. Amen.
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 Bye. See you soon.
So thank you to the Thomases. Now we're going to sing Once in Royal David's City.
As we look briefly at the visit of the Magi this morning, it reminds me that our world is full of questions. Over the next few days, in many homes, there will be those engaging in trivial pursuit, mastermind, questions of sport, and other similar games. Many questions asked about all manner of topics. Over the course of the next 6 months or so, and I hesitate to mention this, but some students will be faced with exam questions that may impact the next step in their lives. And then there are the big questions of life. How did this world come about? What is the purpose of life, my life? If God exists, how does that impact me? The Bible passage before us begins with a question. Where is he, the one who has been born king of the Jews? I want you to notice three things about our passage this morning. Firstly, whereabouts. I guess for many of us, we've attended a wedding where at some point the photographer has asked everyone there to come together for one big picture. And often we see nativity scenes that are similar to the wedding photo. There's Mary and Joseph and the Christ child. There are the animals. There's the shepherds and the sheep. There's the wise men and the gifts. Everyone's there, except it's a fake photo. You see, a common mistake with the celebration of Christ's birth is to place the shepherds and the magi, the wise men, together at the manger. Matthew begins the second chapter of his gospel with an account of an incident which took place after the birth of Jesus. The shepherds have been and gone, though the specific time span is not given in the scriptures. It's probable from the statement in verse 11, on coming to the house, that Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus have in fact relocated from the inn, but if so, they're still in the town of Bethlehem. Jesus has been born. The shepherds have been to Bethlehem, have now gone on their way. And these wise men, astrologers, philosophers, come from the east, from Babylonia, and they arrive in the city of Jerusalem. They are men with a mission. They're men with a purpose. They're men with a question. Where is he, the one who has been born king of the Jews? And as they ask their question around the city of Jerusalem, King Herod, the local Roman ruler, and indeed all the citizens of the city, are disturbed, stirred up, made uncomfortable. The question of the Magi leads to questions by others. King Herod himself is found asking of the Jewish teachers where the Christ was to be born. Everyone, it seemed, wanted to know the whereabouts of Jesus. And this picture of people seeking and searching, questioning and inquiring, we find in these verses, captures not only the society of 2,000 years ago, but captures the scene of society today. We live in a society that has never been wealthier materially, and yet has rarely been poorer spiritually. We live in a society that screams about freedom and permissiveness and liberty, and yet contains many thousands of people who tragically are bound captive by all manner of addictions or practices or circumstances. We live in a society that increasingly embraces superstition, but simultaneously rejects biblical Christianity. We live in a society that speaks of deceased loved ones looking down on us, and yet rejects the biblical concepts of judgment and heaven and hell. We live in a society of people searching and seeking, questioning and inquiring. What is the meaning of life? Who am I? Where is God? Christmas time gives us some answers, for it points us to the wonder of the incarnation, the coming of God in human form into this world, the Word made flesh. Question, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? And the teaching of the Bible leads the Christian to say why he is here. By his Spirit he is among us today. The one who was born in a manger and died on a cross is alive. The cross and the tomb are empty. Christ has risen. Christ is reigning. Christ will return. We live in a society of people seeking and searching, questioning and inquiring. And yet for many, despite material wealth and technological gadgets and leisure pursuits and holiday destinations, there's no lasting satisfaction, no real peace, and there is most certainly no relationship with God. No lifting of the guilt of sin, no giving of a purpose for life, no granting of the certainty of heaven. Where is the one who will give us these things which we desperately need? He is the one who was born in Bethlehem, one who is but a prayer away. So firstly, whereabouts. Secondly, warfare. You'll notice, of course, that the word warfare never appears in the passage before us, but it's most certainly found there in the content of the verses. Not, of course, the warfare of tornado bombers and Scud missiles, but a warfare, though far more subtle and far less seen, is nonetheless every bit as real. The warfare of the spiritual realm. Herod and many others were disturbed by the news of Jesus. And though Herod professes to the wise men a desire to visit the Christ child, his only actual desire was to eliminate one whom he perceived to be a threat and a challenge. We only have to glance on to verse 16 to read of Herod's subsequent decree to kill all the boys of 2 years and under living in the vicinity of Bethlehem. This warfare was real, all right. And there are many today, many even this Christmas time in our society, who may express some interest in attending a carol service, some desire in meeting the one whose birth we celebrate, and yet who, in reality, perceive Christ to be a threat and a challenge to their way of life, and would have him eliminated if they could. And you see, there is an element of truth in that concern, for a real meeting with Jesus will upset our current lifestyle. A real meeting with Jesus will fundamentally alter our situation, disturb and change our conduct. My friends, it is not only the cross and the tomb that are empty today, it is also the manger. Herod understood what some in our world today, in our modern era, appear to have forgotten. Jesus was never born to remain a babe in a manger. That sweet Christmastime image that the world at large can generally cope with. Christ Jesus came into the world with a mission. He came with a purpose. He came with a goal. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And for many, that's threatening and challenging. So firstly, whereabouts. Secondly, warfare. And thirdly, worship. The Magi journeyed on. They came to the home of the Christ child. They came full of joy. They came bearing their gifts. But you will notice they came firstly offering themselves. That is, of course, what Christ requires of us today, this Christmas time, and indeed every day. Not firstly our gifts, not firstly what we can do for God, but the offering of ourselves. There will be those this Christmas time who will be like Herod, who will talk much of wanting to go and worship. But like Herod, they will never arrive, for their motives are insincere and their thinking ungodly. There will be others like the chief priests and the teachers of the law, people who knew all the right answers, people today able to quote the Bible, who even know about Christ, but have never come to know Christ. These Magi, these wise men, they came and bowed down and worshipped him. For lo, within the manger lies he who built the starry sky. They worshipped the Creator. They worshipped the Messiah, the one who will save his people from their sins. And then, having bowed down and worshipped, these Magi presented him with gifts. Worship with their lips, followed by worship with their possessions. The calling of the Christian who knows and loves Christ to worshipping in every aspect of our lives and with everything that he has entrusted to us. We're but stewards of his resources. And then notice finally with me, these magi returned by another route. And what for them was a physical truth points us to a spiritual truth. You see, no one who meets with Jesus is unchanged. If you by faith receive Jesus Christ as Saviour and Lord this Christmas time, you will return to daily life by another route, led by the Spirit of God, guided by the Word of God, ruled by the Heavenly Father. Where is he, the one who has been born King of the Jews? Where is he, the one who can save his people from their sins? Where is he, the babe of Bethlehem, who became the Christ of Calvary? Where is he, the one born King of the Jews, indeed King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Where is he? Why, he is here amongst us. Seek the Lord, wrote Isaiah, while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Jesus gives the promise, he who seeks finds. And in 2021, wise men and women are still seeking Jesus. And when we find him, what can we give him? What I can, I give him. I give my heart. Let's come to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the record of the Magi 2,000 years ago. And we pray that even this Christmas time, there may be those men and women who seek the Saviour. Even within our own congregation, we pray that there may be those who discover that the Christ child is the Saviour of the world and can be their Saviour and their Lord. Response to that glorious, wonderful truth of sins forgiven and hope of heaven, they give him their heart. May it be so for Jesus' sake. Amen.
So as we think on what Alan had to say to us, we're going to close our time together with a song, and that is Come Thou Long Expected Jesus.
Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, born to set thy people free from our fears and sins, release us. Let us find our rest in thee, Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth. Thou art desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. Born thy people to deliver, born a child kingdom reign by thine own eternal spirit,
So thank you then for meeting with us again this morning. Let me just close in prayer before we go. Gracious Father, we thank you for all that we've heard this morning. We pray that you'd help us to apply to our lives all that needs to be applied. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd work in us and make us to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask that you would enable us to get back to meeting together as of from next week. And we pray your gracious hand upon this world. And we ask that you'd pour out your Spirit in power. In Jesus' name, amen.